trials, because we're going to go through the first part like we've all been going through, and then of course you know that trials are just proving your quality of worth, and it's checking your faith, your patience, and your endurance. And God checks our endurance by suffering. He doesn't just check our endurance by giving us everything we want. When I was a kid, I learned more when I didn't get what I wanted than when I did get what I wanted. I learned more when I was going through the hard times than I did through the bad times. Faith cannot be tested. Or hasn't been tested, cannot be trusted. It's never going to leave you the same, bitter or better. The first week was seasons of suffering, winter. And that's when it's cold. I mean, it's really cold. You got cold things going. You see death all around. You don't see any new growth. It just kind of looks kind of blue. You know, churches go through these seasons. Our families, we go through these seasons. On our jobs, we go through these seasons where it just kind of, have you ever been on your job and just you walked in one morning and said, everything's dead around here? Ugh. Have you ever gone into your family and done the same thing, or gone into church or wherever, and you're going, it looks like nothing's happening here? You know, it's that season of winter, okay? Then there's the seasons of spring, and of course, with the seasons of winter, the big catch word is going to be, what? Remember how it used to be? That's it. Remember how it used to be? Or what it used to be. Then there's the spring. The spring, now you're starting to see a little bit. Now starting to, the glands being cultivated. You're starting to see opportunities begin. You don't see a lot. They're budding, but you still start seeing a little bit, and you begin to prepare. And you begin to even do some planning. You see, because things are starting to look up a little, look up on you. And now it's, your byword now is things are looking better. It's looking up. But then you got the season of summer. Now, the season of summer is different. Season of summer, what do we have a lot in the summertime we don't have any other time of the year?
Gnats,
mosquitoes. Go ahead. Y'all doing good. Gnats, mosquitoes, heat. What else? How about?
Rain.
Thunderstorms. Yeah, we have hurricanes and, you know, tornadoes. It's really, this time of the year is really a pretty rough time of year. You say it's summertime, we're out, you know, we're out enjoying ourselves. Not really, because you're always thinking about the next storm that's coming or repairing from a storm. So in the summertime of your trial, this is where Satan, remember, he's got you looking back in the winter. Springtime comes, you say, maybe it's worth a try. Maybe we can do this now. Things are starting to look a bit up. In the sunshine or the summer of your trial, now here's where Satan tries to get you to say, as you're trying, he's trying to get you to say, why try? Why? I mean, I thought things were looking better. Things are starting to look up. You know, the birds are singing. There's not death all around us anymore. And things are really looking good. So now Satan's going to come in now, and he's going to try to pop you as hard as he can. He's going to attack you in many different ways. And he's going to try to get you to say, why even try? You know why? Because summer is one of the strongest times in your life. Because in the summer, you don't see what's going on. In the summertime, actually, there's a lot of things happening around us we don't see. There's seeds coming up we don't see. We don't see the germination. We don't see what's going on. And we don't notice that in the next season, we're going to start bringing stuff in. It's going to be very productive. So Satan tries to catch us in this season to stop us from being productive in the next season. So remember, winter, you're looking back. Spring, you're thinking maybe there's a chance. And then you start getting excited and you start moving forward. How many's ever been in a trial and all of a sudden things start looking a little bit better? And you go, wow, it's looking better. I think there's a chance this is going to work. And about the time you think it's all getting ready to work, and you go, why'd I even try? Why'd I even step up and put my shoes on this morning? Okay, that's the summer of your trial. So now, he's going to beat you up. He's going to tell you how sorry you are. He's going to tell you you're not worth saving. He's going to tell you that if you were better than this, you wouldn't be going through all these trials. That if you lived a little bit better, then things would be a whole lot better for you. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:11. And I like this. Even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin, and your relation to sin is broken. That's what it means, dead to sin. Your relation to sin is broken. But alive to God, a living in unbroken fellowship with Him in Christ Jesus. So now, in the summertime, that's when turbulent trials blow across the sunny skies of your life. And when these turbulent trials start coming, how do you respond? What I do is, and I don't know why my kids don't do this, I've already got my flashlight set up. I got flashlights that are put in the wall so when the electricity goes out, they light up. I can see where I'm going. And I can pull it out the wall. The Red Cross sells them. You can get them other places, but it's always charging. And you can have some that serve as a nightlight. They're pointed down. They serve as a nightlight. So when you walk through, you can see where you're walking through. But when the electricity goes out, it brightens up. And you can take it and you got a flashlight. This things are cool. If you don't have one, you can go get through the Red Cross. You can go to Best Buy and other places and find them. You also just can go to Walmart and look for one that says for power outages. And you can always have a light when the power goes out. And it's always charged. Always. So I have those in the house. When I see the storms coming, I go ahead and I try to make sure I got enough food to last for several days in case we get stuck. We got stuck for a week just a few years ago because the hurricanes came through and crushed my cousin's house and almost crushed my other cousin's house and knocked down light lines on Possum Track, and it took a whole week to get the power lines back up. And so I'm always prepared for that. Linda says she used to have to be the one prepared. She says now she can just rest because she knows that I'm going to take care of it. Yeah. Okay. So you know about it, when these turbulence trials, when you see it coming, you prepare for it. And so I know that when things start happening to me, I'm going to hear Satan try to pick up on the latest, greatest that I've done wrong and throw it at me and say, here's why things aren't working. If I lost my temper, he's going to say, if you ain't lost your temper, everything will be all right. Or if I heard the Lord say fast and I didn't fast, and all of a sudden now it's my fault, everything's happening because I didn't fast like I should, or something. So he's the accuser of the brethren. He's always out to get you. So when these storms come, you can stew, or you can fret, or you can search for solutions. I like to have my solutions as much as possible ahead of time, or even have a game plan, so at least I know exactly what direction I'm going in when Satan starts hitting. All right. Well, that's right. You can eat or play the guitar. That's good. Stew or fret. You know, I used to program computers at Procter & Gamble when we did something called logic diagrams. And so I would take these logic diagrams and I would convert them from logic diagrams to ladder diagrams to from elementary to logic, and I would put them in a computer. And so it was always, if this happens, here's what goes on. If this happens, this goes on. And that stayed in my mind so much that now I still think that same way. If this happens, I'm going to go this way. If this happens, this is how we're going to handle it. We need to be in that kind of mindset. So when Satan starts to attack you, you don't just get blindsided and you're laying on your back going, what happened? So instead, realize that the presence of trials in your life reveals that God may be trying to get a message through to you now. So remember, if Satan's bringing them, remember this. Sometimes he's bringing them to discourage you. Then there's times God allows them so you can stop and think. How many remember what you do when you catch yourself on fire? What do you do when you get caught on fire?
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. Okay? So sometimes God's letting you stop, drop, and roll. Maybe your tendency is to deny the facts. Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's not a good one then. Okay, so when Satan's talking to us, what he wants to do is he wants to break up the team. So it'll get you to either deny the facts, blame one another, or simply sink into self-pity. All right? So regardless of the weather report, realize that the Spirit of Christ is living in you and He gives you power to live above the winds of any adversity. Okay? So here we go. When you find yourself, remember, there's times when God's trying to get a message through to you. There's times where God allows Satan to get you so that to get you stronger. There's times, you know, that when you've gone through something, actually, you honestly couldn't have compassion on somebody else because you've never been through it. And now that you've been through it, you've got a lot of compassion. Matter of fact, it's not just sympathy, it's empathy, because now you've been through it. And you say, as you've been through it, I know this is tough, and I'm here for you. Where if you had never been through it, you would go, it can't be that hard.
Somebody else in the family, and he began to see what people were going through, that he was having a hard time dealing with pastoring people in situations like that. But, man, when it hit him, it changed.
Oh, yeah. When my mama died, it really changed. And then when my wife died, man, it changed the ministry. And I tell you something else. When I started taking counseling, it changed the ministry, because when I started taking counseling, I thought it was going to help me help people. You know what counseling did? It taught me about me, and I did not like what I saw. The more I studied, the more I got mad at myself, and I said, I cannot believe I've acted this way. I cannot believe I've done this. And so actually trying to help other people, learn to help other people, it actually helped me. And so, again, when you help yourself, you help others, okay? Now, biblical truths tell yourself when you're going through this. Know with a certainty that your life is surrendered to the Lord Jesus. You got to know that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many doesn't know that? Don't raise your hand. Know with a certainty that your life is surrendered to the Lord Jesus. And if it's not, do something about it. Right? And sometimes God could let things come on you just so you can ask yourself that question. All right? So now, tell yourself, when you're totally surrendered to God, tell yourself that I am a child of God. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father hath lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. So when Satan's beating me up and telling me if I was a good Christian, I wouldn't be going through this. If my flesh is telling me, I told you, you serve God, this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. Okay? I am a child of God. DC and Daniel or Beth would be talking about themselves. I hear them in there talking, that was stupid. I don't know why I even done something that stupid. I go and tell them, y'all quit talking about my youngins like that. Or Linda will go, I don't know what in the world I was doing. I said, don't talk about my girlfriend like that. And she goes, I didn't think about it now. I said, don't be talking about it. And then all of a sudden it'll come back to me too. She'll go, well, don't be talking about my boyfriend like that. Okay? So you got, again, you got to know you're a child of God. Number two, know that your unsaved self was crucified with Christ. I'm dead to sinful ways. So when Satan tries to suck me back in, I'm in an unbroken fellowship with Jesus, and my relationship with sin is broken. That's what the Bible says. And so I don't have to be sucked back in. I don't have to be under the influence. Okay? So I'm dead to sinful ways, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. A slave has no choice. We have choice. We got choice. I've heard people tell me, say, I had no choice. Yeah, you did. That's right. You have a choice, because we are in unbroken fellowship with God. He'll help us. Now that you've been separated from the power of sin, I may want to sin, but I don't have to. You know, when I first quit smoking, all I kept thinking was, I can't smoke a cigarette. I can't smoke a cigarette. It was terrible. Matter of fact, I made a hobby out of quitting smoking. I think I quit smoking 1,000 times. The problem was staying quit. And the reason I couldn't stay quit is because I kept thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't be smoking. And then I realized I don't have to smoke. When I realize I don't have to, things change. If you got anything that you're addicted to, anything, or you got something that's beating you up right now, all you got to do is, instead of saying, I can't do this, say, I don't have to. I don't have to. And now you've changed it. Because when you say, I can't do it, Satan's going to beat you up. The flesh is going to beat you up. Got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. But when you can say, I don't have to, wow, whatever the addiction is, if you can get in your mind, I don't have to be addicted to this anymore. Wow. Now what you've done is you've given yourself power. The other way, you've taken power away by saying, I can't. Now when you that's negative, but now when you say I don't have to, now it's positive. And it opens up a whole different attitude and avenue. I may want to sin, but don't have to. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you may obey its evil desires. I love this. This is so awesome. Again, when you're in the summer of your trials, you're in the summer now, it's breaking through, you're really getting excited, you're thinking things are going good, then all of a sudden here comes the thunderstorm, here comes Channel 9 popping up with a weather alert, here's Channel 12, and Channel 7 got the stick men drawn up there for theirs. And you're thinking, wow, I thought I had this thing under control. I thought we were going to whip this puppy. I thought we had this going. I thought this was sunshine coming in. And I look at all the clouds, and then Satan's beating you up and beating you up. Your flesh is beating you up. Look, know that sin does not need to control you. Tell yourself, when I respond in a sinful way, I am making a choice. Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, 14. Here we go. I'm going to give you some positive stuff here. Everybody ready for some positive stuff? Has Satan ever said, gotcha? Has he ever told you, gotcha? I got you while you weren't looking. I got you. Okay? All those things ahead was one of those, I got you. I got you. I want you to watch this. Know that there's power in God's word. When Satan fought Jesus in the wilderness, when he was fighting Satan in the wilderness, what did he fight him with? Did he fight him with tools? Did he fight him with the Holy Spirit? Did he fight him with a gun? It is written. So did he fight him with something that we can't use? Did he fight him with something that's easily available to us? If I told you, if you were going to go out and go squirrel hunting and you were just hollering at squirrels to come at you, they weren't coming at you. And so you went out and picked you some rocks and were throwing rocks at the squirrels. And I come out and gave you a little 410 and said, showed you how to use it and said, I'll tell you what, next time instead of hollering at them or throwing a rock, take this little 410, it won't even hurt you. Take it and you aim where I show you to aim and you watch what happens. And that squirrel falls right on down. Okay, well, the same way, you can tell, leave me alone, Satan. You scared him. I'm pretty sure he ran with his tail between his legs. Well, again, you watch. That's right. Well, I have a 12 gauge. That 12 gauge, you had to be careful. That 12 gauge actually would mess up a squirrel. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Know that there's power in God's word. Memorize it and quote it when you're tempted to sin. You say, well, I don't do good at memorizing. Well, you know what? You don't have to memorize the whole thing. You don't have to memorize the book it's from. You ain't got to say, devil, the Bible says in Romans 6 and 11. Just get up and tell him. I reckon, see, and Paul was a southerner. He's from southern Italy. Because in Romans chapter 6, 11, it says, likewise, reckon. He's always talking about, I reckon. Look, just tell the devil. Just tell him, the Lord said, I am dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. I don't have to live this way. So here it goes. Tell yourself, shall I go on sinning? By no means. I am dead to sin. How can I live in it any longer? And again, I wrote it up there again. I'm in a different version. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So now when Satan's trying to tempt you to sin, or Satan's trying to tell you how bad a sinner you are, here's your go-to scripture for him. Now, here we go. This is going to be, here's the gotcha scriptures. Not got you from Satan, but now it's got you. Satan is a got you Satan. Now we got you Satan. Know that the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Amen? Tell yourself, I have the power of Christ in me. Next time you're tempted to lose that temper, next time you're tempted to want to pop somebody right between the eyes, next time you're tempted to want to jump back into whatever had you hooked, next time you feel this stuff trying to pull you back in, here's what you do. You say, I had the power of Christ in me. Y'all say that. I have the power of Christ in me. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who lives in you. You notice all the stuff I'm giving you is scripture. This whole thing about trials has been nothing but scripture. You can take these scriptures and you can take them and put them there and you can do some damage to Satan with scriptures. Know that you can face trials from a position of victory. I'm not fighting to victory. I'm fighting through victory. When I worked at Procter & Gamble, we had 5,000-pound batteries. We had some 7,000-pound batteries. These batteries were big enough that a couple of us could sit in them if you took the battery part out of them, just the container. And not only was it a 5,000-pound battery, it was also used as a counterweight for the lift truck, but also had that great big battery, 48-volt battery. And you had to service them every night. Plus, if you were going to change your battery, you had to pick it up and take the other one out. You had to check it with the meter and stuff. So we had to wear gloves. If you didn't wear gloves, it ate you up. I mean, it would eat you up. You couldn't stand it. But if you had gloves on, wow. You could sit there and touch it, do whatever you want to with it. It was fine. The same way. And then one day I was working those gloves and I had one glove. I couldn't even find two gloves. So I had one glove. And the hand that had one glove was fine, but the hand didn't have a glove at all was getting burnt up. And I thought about that thing. Here's the guy that's fighting to victory without the glove. And here's the guy that's fighting through victory, got the glove. So I could actually touch stuff because I'm fighting through victory. Some of y'all in here right now, if you could get that in your mind, you would have a different tomorrow. We're not fighting to victory. We're fighting through victory. I'm not looking to win. I've already won. I'm a child of God. How about it? We're not looking to win. We've already won. We've already got taken care of. God's taking care of it for us. Why am I having to worry myself to death about it? God's already won the victory for us. All right, so now you can face trials from a position of victory. Remember, this has got you to Satan. Tell yourself, my battle has already been won. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It didn't mean you're going to seat us in the heavenly realms when we die. It means right now. Right now. God has already seated us in heavenly places. And it is an awesome, awesome thought. Remember, we are winning. Because the battle's already won. Ready? Here's another good one. Know that you are an instrument of righteousness for God. Everybody raise your hand and say, I am an instrument for God. Some of you are some flutes. There's a couple of tubas in here. There's flutes and saxophones. I'm a tuba. flutes. We're instruments for God, okay? We're instruments for God. We're tools. We are tools for God. Tell yourself, I will give God total authority over everything I do and say. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin or instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. We're almost through. Isn't this cool? Know that you live in the presence of Christ. Did you know every day you live in the presence of Christ? We're in his presence right now. He's here. Whether you feel him or not, he's here. Whether you know it or not, when you walk out this door, he's with you. When you go to bed tonight, he's right in there with you. Him and his angels, their presence is with you. So now, I live in the presence of Christ. How about you? I want to submit to the convicting of the Holy Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And here's my favorite. Know that you are God's child. I told you this one time before. If I go outside and DC's falling out of the tree and he's hanging, of course, now he'd be mighty hard to catch. He'd be hard to catch now. Matter of fact, I'd have to find something for him to land on besides me. Woo, that was a big boy when he was born. He had a full set of teeth and a mustache when he was born. Almost 10 pounds. He was our 10-pounder. Matter of fact, Nick was a 10-pounder, so I'd say that's my two bodyguards, Nick and DC, and Daniel, he's just a bulldog, so I put Daniel up front. He'd just go ahead and spread them out. You know, but Daniel, when he was a policeman, told his buddy, he said, if DC ever comes at you, don't waste your time. Tase him. Just shoot him. If he comes at you, just go ahead and put the bullet in him. Because if you don't, you got problems. Well, if DC was falling out the tree, and he hollered, help me, Daddy, help me, would I say, he's holding my one hand, DC, did you clean up your room yet? Did you take out the trash? Did you do what Mama sent you to do? Have you been good to Daniel today? No, you know what I'm going to do? He's my child. I'm going to run and help him. He's my child. He can count on it. I'll be there. Now, when he gets down, we might talk about all that other stuff. Matter of fact, he says, you just caught me, so I had to do the other stuff. Yes, son, I caught you, so you'd have to do the other stuff. The same way, I believe that I am God's child, and I believe that as God's child, I'm led by His Spirit, that I'm here, He's with me all the time. You know, it's been amazing over the past 6 months, just really taking notice of how God leads. And I remember one day, not long ago, I was walking. I'd refinanced my house, and so I had to redeed it because it still had Beverly's name on it. I couldn't get Beverly's name off of it, so I kept telling them to take it off, and they didn't take it off. And so I said, well, here, we're going to do something. So I talked to my lawyer, and he says, I'll get it off for you. Don't worry about it. We got it. And so we're getting all that taken care of. And so while I was getting ready to go to the lawyer's office, and I stopped at the Dollar Tree. And so I stopped at the Dollar Tree, and I picked up some things. And the Holy Spirit said, pick up a bag of that cough drops. And it was those Whorehound cough drops, the really nice ones. Okay, and I said, I don't like them things. They burn my nose, and I don't need them. And the Holy Spirit again said, pick up those Whorehounds. And I said, Lord, I don't need them. And He said again, pick up the Whorehounds. I said, yes, sir. And I picked them up, and I'm walking out, and I'm even checking out. The lady saying, you got somebody sick? Nope, nobody sick. And she said, why'd you get them? I said, I don't know. And I went right to my lawyer's office. And the lawyer's paralegal was also a Christian. And when I got in there, instead of her going, hey, bro, what's going on? She said, hey, bro, what's going on? And I said, what's up? She said, I'm so sick. She said, I really need some kind of good cough medicine to help me. And I said, well, it's amazing that you would say that. I said, have you ever had Whorehound? She said, yeah, they're good stuff. I said, well, hold on. The Lord got you some while I go at the Dollar Tree. And I walked in, and I gave them to her. And you know, she told a whole bunch of people about how the Holy Spirit took care of her that day and sent somebody along to bring her some. Isn't it awesome? God takes care of her. There was this woman. She had about 10 children. Her husband was dead. And she lived in the deep woods, and she went out one day, and things were getting really tight. And she walked outside, and she said, Lord, I really need you to help because we don't have much food left in this house. You got to come through for us, Lord. And she said, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. She just started praising him. But she went back in. There was two atheist hunters walking around. They happened to hear her prayer. So these atheist hunters, they said, we'll play a joke on her. And so they went and bought a 50-pound bag of flour, another 50-pound bag of sugar, and they bought all these canned goods. And in the morning, they put them on the front porch and hid around the corner. And she got up and she said, "Lord, you heard my prayer." And she just started shouting. She kicked up some dust. She was shouting, "God, you heard my prayer. You heard my prayer. You sent me food. You sent me food." And those old atheist hunters come around and said, "Hold on, hold on. God had nothing to do with it." She said, "Yeah, he did. God did it. God did it." "No, he didn't." "Said we did it." "Said we went out there. We heard your prayer yesterday. So we went and bought you some. And that's why it's here now, because we bought it." And she just started shouting again, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And he said, "Didn't you hear us tell you that we bought it?" She said, "Thank you, God, that you sent my groceries and you used the devil as a delivery boy." God takes care of his children. Amen. That's right. So look, I want you to, now next week's going to be honestly the awesome one, because next week is the fall. And then the fall is harvest time. And all of us like a harvest, don't we? Amen. So we're going to have to, next week's going to be cool. And we're getting ready to get off of trials, praise God. And we're going to go to another topic. But I want y'all to be thinking about this thing about in your own trial, the winner, when you're saying the way it used to be. In the spring, where you say it's a possibility, and in the summertime, where you say, "Well, I'll try." I want you to think about those and think about it in your own life, because it's very possible that you could be having a trial with your family that you're going, "Well, I'll try," and you're having a trial on your job where you're thinking it's a possibility. Then you got a trial somewhere else, you're going, "Everything's dead." Because remember, it comes at you all at one time. But don't get confused. God's got your back, He's with you. He has not let go of you, He's not forsaken you. Amen? I mean, anybody got any comments or questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next time, can you
put
this a little louder?
Louder? Okay. I know it's smaller, but I'm trying to save paper, and I put them on three. My printer won't put them two. It puts them three. And so that's why I do it that way. And if I did six like I do on Sunday morning, you couldn't see it. It'd be a lot smaller than that. And it's just, I'll try. I really will. I'll see if I can't find somewhere. I'll talk to Linda, because she usually figures that. Sir? Okay, yeah. I'm about to make them bigger. I'll make them bigger. Okay. So next week, we're going to have fall, and it's going to be big. We're going to have a big fall. A big fall. Anybody else? Anybody else got anything? Go ahead. Get killed on the way. What now?